Ready to find your next favorite podcast? Start here.
It's good writing, but it's not a movie. And so I want to try to distinguish those two things. So my first question would be, is there a story? Is there a beginning, a middle, and an end?
Boy, this must have been some class over there.
And if I had to pick a favorite hard candy, I'd choose a Mexican-made sour sucker with a chili center flavored with chamoy. That's right, chamoy.
Tio Ricardo, ¿qué es eso, chamoy?
People like me who like to think that bad football is better than no football, and that the Bengals have been at least a part of this wonderful Central Riverfront redevelopment, will say, you know what? It's worth it to keep this football team. They are a piece of the riverfront puzzle.
On the way today, we'll introduce you to three new podcasts: Script Notes, Richard's famous food podcast, and That's So Cincinnati. Welcome to Start Here from Cincinnati Public Radio. I'm Trip Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Each week, we sample and highlight three podcasts to help you navigate the exploding podcast world and maybe find your next podcast obsession. Plus, get an email summary of each podcast we feature with our weekly Start Here email blast. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here blast email at the bottom of the page. And if you like what you hear, please rate us an Apple Podcast. A 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. With special thanks to Cincinnati Public Radio's Jim Nolan and Kevin Reynolds, and curation, writing, and producing from Connor Eldridge, let's start here. Every movie or TV show that's ever been made comes from the same humble beginnings: a stack of loosely bound copy paper. Scripts are the foundation that films and TV series are built on, and without them, those films and series wouldn't exist. It's an underappreciated art, and one that the average person probably doesn't know all that much about. Enter Script Notes. On Script Notes, you'll learn all about the world of screenwriting from the minds of two of the best: John Craig Mazin, creator and writer of the hit HBO series Chernobyl, and John August, writer of movies like Big Fish and Charlie's Angels, for candid conversations with other industry executives on the craft, the business, how to start writing, and much more. Get behind the camera and experience Hollywood from inside with Craig and John as they reveal unknown trade secrets, talk shop with celebrity friends, and hopefully provide some helpful screenwriting advice. Here's a sample from the episode of Script Notes called Minimum Viable Movie. In the episode, John and Craig discuss how to figure out if an idea can work as a feature film. And they talk about the things a writer must need to consider before starting a screenplay, like the minimum requirements of a story.
Because it was 2 weeks ago, I went into a class at USC. Howard Robin teaches a screenwriting class. And once a year, if I can, I go in and talk with the students. And they have their movies broken out on index cards. And they lay out their cards and they talk through their movie. And it's a really useful exercise, I think, both for them, but also for me, sort of talking through sort of like, what do I actually think is a movie, and sort of like how movies work when they're just broken down on cards. And in some cases, these were clearly very talented writers who had interesting things to say, but I challenged them on, is that actually a movie? There's one writer who I said, you're in an interesting story space, but what you're describing sort of feels like a musical without songs. That so much of what she was aiming to do was going to be unspoken. There was no way to actually get to what was interesting about what was happening inside those characters' heads. So in a musical, you could expose those things. In a movie, I didn't see how she was planning to do it, and she couldn't articulate how she was planning to do it. So I thought you and I might take a few minutes to talk through what you actually need to have in order to have something that is a movie idea versus a something else idea.
Well, I understand that when you are young, and maybe you're in a program like that one over there at USC, that you might have a tendency away from what we would call conventional narrative and conventional movie, and you may be thinking of more independent fare of the sort that occasionally is dubbed mumblecore. And there are movies that are seemingly unrestrained by narrative demands, and those are cool. It's just that, you know, if that's what you're aiming for, go and do it, but you're probably not actually, you don't really need to spend all that money at USC at that point. I really do believe, you know what I mean? There are great lessons to be had.
I actually want to draw a big enough circle to include like the mumblecore movies, which are, I think are genuinely movies. But some things are, there's things that people try to write that aren't even that. And they may even write a full screenplay, but you read the screenplay and you're like, yeah, but that's not actually a movie, because you and I both had that experience where, we read a script that's like not very good, but we can say like, oh, but that's definitely a movie. I see why that's a movie.
Sure.
Or other things that are actually well written, but it's like, it's good writing, but it's not a movie. And so I want to try to distinguish those two things. So my first question would be, is there a story? Is there a beginning, a middle, and an end?
Boy, this must have been some class over there.
On the podcast, Script Notes with Craig Mazin and John August. And with over 400 episodes already in the archive, there's a lot to learn. Listen to Script Notes now on WVXU's Podcast Central. New to our curated Podcast Central collection this week is Richard's Famous Food Podcast, a mix of journalism, absurdity, and sonic delight, brought to you by award-winning writer and podcaster Richard Parks III. It's kind of like some hybrid of a food history podcast and Pee-wee's Playhouse. Each episode of Richard's Famous Food Podcast focuses on a single theme or story and takes the listener on a wild, surprisingly, though, informative audio journey. From wine to pickles and everything in between, you'll never see food the same after it gets the RFFP treatment. With hilarious sound design, original music, surreal jokes, crazy characters, and more, Richard's Famous Food Podcast is the craziest show in the history of eating. And we've served up a delectable sample for you from the latest podcast of Richard's Famous Food Podcast called Chamoy. The installment explores the condiment chamoy, a Mexican staple that's making headway in the American cuisine. In this little sample, Richard examines the flavor, the origins, and the many different forms that chamoy can take.
And if I had to pick a favorite hard candy, I'd choose a Mexican-made sour sucker with a chili center flavored with chamoy. That's right, chamoy.
Tío Ricardo, ¿qué es eso, chamoy?
Well, Jimmy... It's Mexico's ruby red, fruity, sour, salty, savory, spicy flavor combination. It's used in street-side snacks like tostilocos, with sorbets and raspados, even as a seasoning rim for drinks like micheladas. And it's drizzled atop fresh fruit cut to order on the street. The mere thought of chamoy makes one's mouth water, and its bright red BMW 325i color means it's unmistakable to the eye as it coats your lips and fingers and you slurp, suck, and savor each and every flavor, calling out,
Chamoy, yo te amo más mucho.
Cut. Yeah, we're not going to use that one.
RFFP.
Thanks, ladies. The thing is, nobody seems to really know what it is.
Chamoy.
Chamoy?
Yeah.
What's
I'm trying
thing?
To figure out what it is.
It's pickled plums.
Es dulce de tamarindo.
It was originally a sauce made from dried apricots.
Plum or an apricot.
I feel like it derivates from, like, chili.
Chamoy is actually the plum.
The Mexican plum, because American plum is too much different.
It can be, like, a liquid flavoring agent kind of thing.
Dry plum, too.
Plum and sugar.
But it's not sweet, though.
Me da otro sabor.
It can be both sweet and savory, too.
¿Sabes lo que es tamarindo?
Tamarindo.
Como tamarindo dulce.
People say it's tamarind.
No. I don't see the relationship in between plum and tamarind.
How do you call it? Pickle in vinegar.
Fermented.
In the spirit of the picle, let it ferment a little bit. Some lime juice.
Syrup.
Messing around with salt.
And maybe some sugar and maybe some fruit.
And the chile.
It's kind of all over the place.
And I should know this because it's my heritage, but I'm not quite sure.
I don't really want to tell you what I put in there.
Así se llama chamoy. No sé cómo lo preparen.
Anyways, yeah, we did.
So on this episode of Richard's Famous, we're going on a voyage de la chamoyage on the streets of L.A. in search of the definition and meaning of Mexico's superlative flavor combination. Hopefully, by the time we're done, I'll be able to make my nephew Turner a chamoy boy.
A sample of Richard's Famous Food Podcast with Richard Parks III. Get a taste of some high-quality gastro comedy on Richard's Famous Food Podcast, available now on WVXU's Podcast Central. There's a lot going on in our city, so much sometimes that it's hard to keep track of it all. Luckily, this week's featured local podcast can help lighten the load. On That's So Cincinnati, the Enquirer's Jason Williams and Sharon Coolidge make the complicated local issues affecting your daily life easy to understand. They'll welcome prominent Cincy figures, politicians, and community leaders onto the show for serious conversations on Cincinnati politics, business, sports, art, and more. And don't worry, Jason and Sharon always find a way to have more than a little fun. On the ballots or in the streets, That's So Cincinnati is here to help you out. Here's a snippet from the recent episode featuring Cincinnati Enquirer sports columnist Paul Daugherty. Paul joins the show to talk about the latest plans for the music venue on the banks, how the Bengals are involved, and the future of the 2020 Hamilton County prosecutor's race.
So, you know what, so Doc, you've been covering this for a very long time. And so you watched this unfold, the idea that we were going to get two brand new stadiums. Can you kind of talk about where you've been coming from in your columns?
I've been here through all of it. I got here in 1988. You know, the riverfront was an absolute dump. Talk about a concrete jungle. Boy, you weren't here in 88. I was here in 96 for the vote, which was overwhelmingly in favor of the sales tax increase. And it came with the promise of Central Riverfront development and keeping the football team. And I would have voted for it then, a little bit more skeptically than now. And now we're up to, you know, things don't really change in this town. If you've been around here a while, you know this. I felt in the last week or so that I was back in 1996 because you had the same discussions from different sides. Nothing much has changed. People who hate the Bengals, who hate Mike Brown, who hate the Leafs, who hate life, are going to say, get rid of them. We don't need them. You know, Mike Brown always has his hand held out. People like me who like to think that bad football is better than no football and that the Bengals have been at least a part of this wonderful Central Riverfront redevelopment will say, you know what? It's worth it to keep this football team. They are a piece of the riverfront puzzle. And for those who weren't here in 88 or 96 or were too young to remember, I suggest
you... Well, that's me. I'm too young to remember.
Well, then you go back and look at the photos, the overhead photos of what the riverfront looked like then, and look at what the riverfront looks like now. And if you think that the Bengals weren't part of that, okay, you can think that if you like. I happen to think that they were a part of it. And if you want to keep it going, it's still not complete. If you want to see it completed, I think we need the football team to be here.
From our local podcast spotlight, That's So Cincinnati from Cincinnati.com. Get the inside scoop on your city every week on That's So Cincinnati. Available now on WVXU's Podcast Central. Before we wrap up today, let's do a quick check on the Apple Podcast charts to see what's hot across the country via iTunescharts.net. Well, again this week, two podcasts have, again, dominated the top of the charts from last week, Book of Basketball 2.0 that we talked about, and Sibling Rivalry with Kate and Oliver Hudson. But there's another sneaking into the top five this week. It's called Have You Seen This Man? It's a real-time podcast. It's a nationwide manhunt about an escaped Ohio death row inmate named Lester Eubanks. After being convicted of rape and murder, he became an honor prisoner and was granted leave to go Christmas shopping. He walked away and hasn't been seen since. From ABC News, it's Have You Seen This Man? Now number three on the Apple Podcast charts. To learn more about that podcast and the others we featured today, check out the Start Here email. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and choose the Start Here newsletter from the bottom of the page. Thank you for joining us for Start Here, Cincinnati Public Radio's Discovery Podcast. For more information about podcasts we like, check out Podcast Central at wvxu.org. And remember, if you've got a podcast or an episode you'd like to recommend, email us at podcast@wvxu.org or call us at 513-294-8030 and we'll add your voice to ours. For now, I'm Trip Eldridge for Cincinnati Public Radio, and thank you for choosing to start here.